Thank you, Francis.
I would invite you, if you would like, to turn with me in a Bible to John chapter 20, reading from the resurrection accounts here in the Gospel according to John, verses 11 through 18. John 20, 11 through 18. In the Pew Bible, it's page 944. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. We come on this Resurrection Sunday. We come gathering together with senses of joy and anticipation, or perhaps maybe we're a little tired. I told TJ if the voices of the choir were a little bit off this morning, he needs to really pray for some of them, because they didn't come home till 7 o'clock, because I saw them at the Presbyterian Church. There were some who have been up a long time for the sunrise service and beyond, and perhaps are a little tired, or maybe the world has us a little bit tired. Perhaps things that we have been involved in the past week have worn us out. But this is a day to rejoice, not a day for despair. Perhaps things in the news or situations within families, perhaps even sickness, have us in despair. And yet this is not the day for despair. This is a day for joy. And by the way, I do not have two bottles of detergent here, though I thought about bringing them, Dawn and Joy. But we're not dealing with detergent today, although we are dealing with cleansing. The opportunity to have our hearts and our lives and our minds cleansed so that we truly can enjoy the joy that God brings in Christ. Today we are also in the 13th of our series based on the stained glass windows, looking through the glass as we look to the resurrection window here to my right and to your left. The scene was one filled with despair, with no hope. Jesus had died on Friday afternoon. The women and the disciples all thought it was over. Saturday and Saturday night were truly nights of darkness. Suddenly, what had been joyful, what had been pleasant, now seemed joyless. We do know from some of the gospel accounts that the disciples eventually even went back to fishing, not really believing what Jesus had said. As we look to our window, we find that scene with Mary Magdalene sitting here on a rock right outside of the tomb. A jar of ointment is sitting next to her, reminding us that she had come, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women, to anoint Jesus' body properly. The sky is beginning to lighten up a little bit behind Jesus as the day is dawning. Mary is sitting there dejectedly. There is no joy on her face. In fact, she has her right hand up under her eyes on her face, perhaps shedding tears, because she has arrived at this tomb and Jesus is not in it. Jesus is behind her, looking directly at her, about to speak and call her name. If you look closely, there are cracks in a number of the rocks around, which would perhaps represent in the Gospel of Matthew, where the earthquake had occurred and the stone had been rolled back. The tomb is there, reminding us in its dark gray form of the darkness of the night before, of the darkness as the world seemed to have been overcome with evil. There is that sense of despair, but also that anticipation of joy, because Jesus is standing there alive. Mary had been at the cross with the other women. She had seen Jesus' agony. She had watched Him die with agony and with tears in her own heart, crushing her spirit. She had been there alongside of Jesus' mother, Mary, and had watched the pain and the anguish in that mother's eyes and on her face, and very probably watched her as she held her son, the Pietà, the famous statue. Pity. And yet, for many, there was no pity. And Mary Magdalene had stood there and watched Mary, the mother of Jesus, holding her son who had just died a horrible death in front of her, weeping out her soul. She had been at the tomb with the other women, watching as Jesus was buried, placed in this borrowed tomb, hastily and hurriedly, because as sundown approached and Sabbath began, that body could not be properly washed, properly anointed. In fact, the body of Jesus was given very little respect. Mary had felt dejected, as had the other women who had been there at the tomb, at the fact that Jesus' body was not properly washed and anointed and buried. And so they gathered together all the spices and the ointments that they could. They gathered together new linens to rewrap Jesus' body, to bury it once again with the proper honor that it deserved. They came back on Sunday morning, walking through the garden, heading toward the tomb, wondering how they would ever get in to show Jesus this respect, to prepare His body. They make this trip in the wee hours of the morning, in twilight, as darkness is still around them. And though the sun was lighting up the sky, when they got there with a heavy heart, for one last chance to care for their Lord, they find Him missing. They find Him missing, and once again their spirits are crushed. What a cruel joke. Someone has taken Him away. Where had they taken Him? The soldiers, the priests. Couldn't they just leave Him alone now? Did they have to still try and do more to Him? Let Him rest in peace. And don't rob us of a place to come and visit, might have been among the thoughts in Mary Magdalene and the other women's minds. They look inside. The body is not there. The grave clothes are still there. And there are two angels inside. As Mary looks in there, the angels say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Perhaps flashing through her mind was
a harsh response to them. You ought to know why I'm weeping. He's gone. And maybe there was a little bit of an edge along with the tears as she said, because they have taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him. In the midst of her despair, in the midst of her agony, in the middle of what seemed like a hopeless and joyless situation, a time of defeat, Jesus steps around and says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" If he came up behind Mary as our window portrays, she probably nearly jumped out of her skin. She's crying. Suddenly she's scared and she turns around, and through tears she doesn't recognize Jesus. Through her anguish and the deep, dark despair, she can't see. Not clearly as of yet. She thinks, well, perhaps he's the gardener come around and he's going to run her off. And she said, "Sir, if you've carried him somewhere, tell me. I'll go get him. I'll take care of him." At that point, Jesus calls her name. And immediately, even through her tears and her despair, she recognizes that voice. She recognizes that caring tone. And she turns to him and says, "Rabboni." Some translations have "Rabboni" as in Hebrew, some say, and she said in Aramaic, "Rabboni." But in either instance, she recognizes him and she calls him teacher or master. She is wanting to pick up right where they left off. He as her master and teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father." Now, there are some who interpret that as meaning that in his resurrected form, she touching him would somehow dirty or be an affront. However, I don't think that's the case. I think that what Jesus was telling her now is, we cannot relate the same as before. You cannot hold on to me and keep me back, because I have to go, as I've said before, and prepare that place. But before that, I have other things to do. And he commissions her to go and share that good news. Mary and the women with her are the first ones to share the gospel, the full gospel, including Christ's death and resurrection. He tells her to go, to tell. And suddenly her despair turns to unspeakable joy. Joy floods the dawn of this beautiful morning. For her, and if you really think about it, for any who are Christians, the most beautiful dawn ever was the dawn of that resurrection day. Sometimes we get caught up in the hurry. We get caught up in a harried life. And sometimes we forget the joy. Even at Easter, rushing around, looking for that Easter outfit, getting the Easter baskets, rushing to Easter services. In some Christian traditions, there are services every day of the week during Holy Week. I was talking with a friend and colleague of mine earlier this week, and he is from an Orthodox tradition, and in their church, every evening they have had services of at least 2 hours. And on Thursday evening, it lasted 4 hours. And on Good Friday, they were going to start in the afternoon, and the services would last 5 hours. And yesterday, they had a 4-hour service. Sometimes we get so worn out and desperate and tired from the hurried and harried life that we miss some of the joy. Not as much as at Christmas, but we still miss some of that joy in the hurriedness of Easter. Sometimes life seems filled with despair, and sometimes we find ourselves without a sense of hope. But what we need to remember is that actually we as Christians every Sunday remember resurrection. Every Sunday is resurrection day for us. And Jesus speaks. And he says, "Whom are you seeking?" And sometimes we give all kinds of answers. But perhaps we need to stop and let him call our names once again to hear him and to recognize his voice and let joy dawn once again as it did the first time we experienced resurrection, like the first Easter. Good news. Death and sorrow have been defeated in the dawn of joy. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.